Well, good morning, Conquerors Class. This is Brother Ray Shutt. I thank you for joining us again today for this Sunday school time here in our Conquerors Class online. And I want to say thank you for praying for all of our special needs in our church this week. As many of you know, this past Thursday, Brother Jim Reel was promoted to heaven, and he's at home with our sweet Lord now. And we want to continue to pray for Linda and the family and ask you that you would just keep them in your prayers. I want to make this announcement that the family will receive friends there at the church on Monday, that's tomorrow, July the 20th, from 3 o'clock in the afternoon until 8 o'clock at night. Then on Tuesday morning, July the 21st, from 10 o'clock until the time of the service at 11, there'll be a short viewing time from 10 o'clock until 11 o'clock, and then Pastor Belcher will be conducting the service. Now, just remember, folks, that due to this COVID-19 pestilence situation, we do require you to wear a mask and observe social distancing when you come to either the viewing and or the service. And if you don't feel comfortable still with coming to the service or to the viewing, then you can watch the service live on our church website. It will be available at 11 o'clock on Tuesday, July the 21st. So just be praying for the family, and I just hope and pray that everything will be well with them. We want to continue to lift them up in the Lord in prayer, okay? Also, if you are not getting our class prayer request sheet, you can email me there at the church at rshutt@opendoorchurch.org and request to receive the class prayer list. I'll be glad to send those out. They go out once a week every Sunday morning, and we hope that that will be a help and a blessing to you. All right, now today we want to begin our 11th lesson in this series entitled So Great Salvation. Today's lesson is entitled, So How Do I Tell Someone of This So Great Salvation? Our lesson theme thought today, if I could give this to you, would simply be this. If others can do it and have done it and are still doing it, then so can I. If others can do it and have done it and are still doing it, then so can I. I'd like to use the following Bible verse as our lesson theme verse today, found in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 16, where the Bible says, Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now today, as we begin our 11th lesson in this series of lessons entitled So Great Salvation, I want us to consider the question, so how do I tell someone of this so great salvation? You know, one of the greatest joys a born-again child of God can ever experience after they first come to personally know Christ as their own Savior is the joy of having the privilege to lead someone else to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, so many born-again children of God miss out on this joy day after day, week after week, month after month, and even year after year. You see, telling someone the great news of the gospel of Jesus Christ should never become some sort of a drudgery, nor should it ever become simply some type of religious work that somehow seems so difficult to perform. But rather, it should be a natural process from a child of God who has a grateful heart for what God has done for them in saving their soul. It's the only thing that can be done on this earth that will last for all eternity in heaven. No wonder the devil does all that he can do to discourage born-again children of God from doing it, because it forever changes a person's life still living upon this earth, even as it will forever change their eternal destination after leaving this earth. So the question still remains, how do I tell someone of this so great salvation? Well, let me share some things with you today from the Word of God that will help answer this question and perhaps any other questions that you may have about this subject on how do I tell someone about this so great salvation. Now, I hope you'll look there on our lesson outline on our Sunday school webpage. You can print this out over on the side. There is a PDF download, and you can download and print out the entire lesson along with all the other information I'm going to be giving you here today. But I hope you'll follow along with me this morning as we begin this lesson. Point number one, how do I tell someone of this so great salvation? Well, point number one is this: never forget what Christ Jesus has done for you. Whenever I think about all that Jesus Christ did for me in order that I might be saved, my heart is overwhelmed to think that God would so love someone like me. Think about this with me this morning, would you? Number one, point A, He gave Himself for me. Listen, folks, He gave Himself for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 tells us, "For He," that's talking about God, "had made Him," that's Jesus, "to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." You see, God gave Himself in the form of His own dear Son for me. The Apostle Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 1, verses 3 through 4, "Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father." And then in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, he wrote these words, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." And you see, in so doing, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 tells us that God made His own dear Son to become sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. God has indeed given Himself in order that you and I might be saved. But not only has God given Himself for you and for me, but point number B, He has delivered us from the penalty of sin that we owe. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 through 14, the Apostle Paul said, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering, with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Folks, Romans chapter 8, verse 1 through 4 reminds us that there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ had made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Folks, he has delivered us from the penalty that we owed for our sin. But I want you to see another verse here. Paul again wrote there in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. He said, but we had this sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Yes, and according to the verses we just read in Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 through 14, it is God who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. But then notice also, not only did God give himself for my sin and for your sin, and not only has he delivered you and me from all the penalty that we owe for our sin, but honey, I want you to see that in so doing, point number C, he has made us his ambassadors of light while living here upon this earth. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 20, we read this declaration. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. When I looked up that word ambassador, Webster's dictionary defines the word ambassador as an official envoy or a person designated to represent one kingdom in its dealings with another kingdom, or an authorized representative or messenger. Wow, think about that. That makes you and me, as born-again children of God, not only someone special to God, but we have been made God's special representatives of heaven to anybody and everybody here on planet Earth. Think about that today. Man, when the Apostle Paul gave his salvation testimony to King Agrippa over in Acts chapter 26, verses 1 through 20, the Bible said, then Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth his hand and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be an expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify, that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? I verily thought within myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem. And many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them at Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. Think about what Paul told Agrippa there, folks. As God's ambassador on earth, God made the Apostle Paul a minister and a witness of all that God had done for him, so that in turn he might be a witness to the people. Why? To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in Christ Jesus the Lord. You know, the Apostle Peter put it this way in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 6 through 12, writing, Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which have not attained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Oh, what a wonderful thing God does when he makes us to be his witnesses and his ambassadors, so that others will hear our testimony and our witness of the word of God and be saved. Oh, dear child of God, never forget what God has done for you personally from the very moment that he saved you unto this very day. But now, point number two, I want you to remember this. Never forget what Christ wants us to do now for someone else. Point number A, God wants us to care for someone else, even as someone once cared for us. You see, there is no one that God is not concerned for, and there is no one that God desires to see die without having heard a clear presentation of the gospel of Christ so that they might be saved. This is why the Holy Spirit of God had Peter to write in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, how that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's care and concern for sinful mankind is without limit and without prejudice toward anyone. But God's desire is that you and I, as sinners, so marvelously saved by God's amazing grace, that we would have this same desire and concern for others around us. And this is why we read in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 15, the Bible said there, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake." Folks, John's desire was that he could point folks not to his good preaching or to his way of thinking, but his desire was to point folks to Jesus, the Savior of the world. And in verses 29 and 30 of that very same first chapter in John, we read these words. "The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me." And then as you go down in that same chapter, down to verse 35, 36, and 37, we read these words. "Again, the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus." You see, John cared for those people he witnessed to, and his care led him to have the desire that they might not follow him, but rather they would follow Jesus. And follow Jesus they did. In the story of Jesus' encounter with the woman at the well, who lived in such a rough and rugged life, she'd been married 5 times already and now was simply living with a man out of wedlock and who had had no one that really cared for her as an individual. In John chapter 4, verses 1 through 42, we read how that Jesus told his disciples something there that struck my heart as I was reading it this week. In verses 32 through 34 of John chapter 4, when they questioned him as to why he had even been talking with such a woman as this, the Bible said, "He said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus said unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work." You see, Jesus cared for the soul of this dear woman. And he wanted his disciples to have that same loving and caring spirit within their heart for the lost souls of people who lived and breathed and worked all around them. And folks, that is exactly what the Lord wants you and I to do in our day as well. God wants you and me to care for others, even as one day someone cared for us and brought that soul-saving, life-changing message of the gospel to us. Listen to me this morning. Without this kind of Christ-like love and care for the lost world around us, people may forever remain lost in their sin simply because no one took the time to love them to Jesus or give a hoot as to whether they get saved or not. Folks, you and I have been saved so as to share the same care and love for others that someone once took the time and showed toward each of us before we got saved. But then secondly, I want you to never forget that Christ wants us to continue to grow in the Lord from day to day. When we read in the book of Acts, chapter number 2, verses 41 through 47, we see how that those early church believers continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And look at this. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. These folks stayed faithful in the Word of God and in the teaching and preaching of God's Word and in fellowship with one another and in praying both with and for one another. And the end result, as we see here in verse number 47, was that the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Listen to me this morning. The Lord God wants and desires for His people to continue to grow in the Word of God and in fellowship with one another, and in prayer, both with and for one another, so that they can indeed see more folks saved and added to the church. And not just our church, but to His church, to the body of born-again believers. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, Paul wrote to his son in the faith and instructed him, saying, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." And in Philippians chapter 1, verses 27 through 30, we read these words of instruction given unto the churches there at Philippi, saying, "Only let your conversation," that means your way of living, "be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ that not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now heard to be in me." Never forget, folks, that God not only wants for you and me as His dear children to remember all that He has done for us, so as to never forget our duty of sharing the gospel with someone else, even if someone one day shared the same message of the gospel with us. But God wants us to continue to be faithful, to grow in the Word of God each and every day of our lives, so that we might have a good testimony for Christ before all men, and so that the faith of our gospel might be clearly seen and plainly seen, even when God allows us to go through some type of trying time or even we have to suffer on His behalf. And believe me, if you live faithfully for Christ and you try to be a faithful witness for Christ, you will suffer persecution at some time or another for Christ's sake. But then there's something else I want you to see this morning, and that is the fact that God wants our lives, our day-to-day walk, and our day-to-day talk, and our day-to-day testimony for Christ to cause others to see their need of Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 28, verses 17 through 20, we read these words. "And it came to pass after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. And when they were come together, he said unto them, Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, Yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, would have let me go, because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar. Not that I had aught to accuse my nation of. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you, to see you and to speak to you, that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. The Apostle Paul had no other desire than to cause others to see their need of a Savior through the words that he spoke and through the life that he lived for the one who had saved him. And although they treated him cruelly, and although they accused him falsely, whenever he was given the opportunity, he preached Jesus unto them so that they too might see their need to be saved and to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ to save them. He did not appeal unto Caesar so as to accuse his Jewish brethren of their cruelties toward him, but rather he appealed unto Caesar, even as we read here in verse 19 and 20, saying, "But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I ought to accuse my nation of, but for this cause, therefore, have I called you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain." The Apostle Paul was willing to suffer both shame and agony just to be able to have the opportunity to share the message of the gospel with those, his accusers, all in an effort to share with them that blessed hope of all Israel and of all the world, and that being Jesus Christ. Again, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 16, we again hear the words that Paul wrote to his dear son in the faith, telling him, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, an injurious, but I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to everlasting life." Oh, dear child of God, allow God to help you to be such a witness for Christ that your testimony for the Lord will indeed cause others to see their need for the Lord Jesus Christ. But then lastly, I want you to see this point. Point number three, never forget that what others have done, you and I can do also. Point number A, I want you to remember, if John the Baptist could do it, so can you and I, even as we saw there in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 37. Point number B, if that woman at the well who is so lost in her sin, if that woman at the well can do it, so can you and I, even as we saw there in John chapter 4, verses 1 through 42. I would encourage you to go back and read these stories. Point number C, if a blind man who was given his physical sight so that he might have spiritual sight, if he can do it, so can you and I, even as we read about there in John chapter 9, verses 1 through 48. Listen, folks, if the disciples can do it, who were ignorant fishermen, but they came to know Jesus as their Savior, if the disciples can do it, so can you and so can I, as we so clearly see there in John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31, and in Acts chapter 4, verse 33, where we read these words, "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them all." Folks, I want you to understand this. Never forget, if I, your Sunday school teacher, a little bus kid saved by the grace of God and called to preach the Word of God. If I can do it, so can you. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8, Paul wrote these words, and these words reflect my life as well. He wrote there, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." And in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 16, he again wrote these words that I've read to you before, but I want to read them once again, where Paul said, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." Oh, my friend, what was the Apostle Paul saying here? He was saying here the same thing that Brother Larry Stainer used to always say to us in the Soul Winners Club. And the same thing that I say unto you today, if all these folks can do it, then you can do it as well. And if I can do it, then you too can do it. As we conclude the message today, I want to ask the question again. So how do I tell someone of this so great salvation? First of all, I want you to see the fact that you need to make up your heart and make up your mind and make up your soul to simply be obedient unto God and do it. Secondly, even as we saw the in our lesson today, even as was the method of each of the folks that we learned about in our lesson today, never forget what God has done for you so that you might share that message with everyone that you meet. The message of salvation is only shared with others through a grateful heart, dear child of God. But then thirdly, let me say unto you the same words that our pastor says unto us Sunday after Sunday, week after week. Stay in the book and allow the book to stay in you. Get into God's Word, folks, and allow the Word of God to get into you. And then lastly, determine to do for Christ Jesus now what you may not be able to do later. There's a poem I'd like to read to you today. And it's just below the outline there on our website. And I want you to read this along with me today as I read it to you out loud. The poem is entitled, "Only One Life." It was written by missionary evangelist Charles Thomas Studd, C.D. Studd. And this is what he wrote. "Two little lines I heard one day, traveling along life's busy way, bringing conviction to my heart, and from my mind would not depart. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one. Soon will its fleeting hours be done. Then in that day my Lord to meet, and stand before his judgment seat. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, the still small voice gently pleads for a better choice, bidding me selfless aims to leave and to God's holy will to cleave. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, a few brief years, each with its burdens, hopes, and fears. Each with its clays I must fulfill, living for self or in his will. Only one life 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. When this bright world would tempt me sore, when Satan would a victory score, when self would seek to have its way, then help me, Lord, with joy to say, only one life 'twill soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. Give me, Father, a purpose deep, in joy or sorrow, thy word to keep, faithful and true, whate'er the strife, pleasing thee in my daily life. Only one life 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Oh, let my love with fervor burn, and from the world now let me turn, living for thee and thee alone, bringing thee pleasure upon thy throne. Only one life 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one. Now let me say, thy will be done. And when at last I'll hear the call, I know I'll say, 'twas worth it all. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. And then missionary C.T. Studd wrote these words that just abound in my heart today. And he wrote this and he said, some want to live within the sound of church or chapel bell, but I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell. Man, what a vision and what a desire to tell others about the Savior. Now, as we close this lesson, I want to give you the basics of how to share the message of the gospel with those that you meet and come in contact with each and every day. I want you to know what you need to share with these folks that can help them understand what God says about the situation. I would encourage you to locate these verses, first of all, in your own Bible, and then highlight them or mark them in your Bible so that you'll know exactly where to go in order to show someone how they too can be saved and know it from the Word of God. There, as you look underneath this poem on your outline, you're going to see two areas that I want you to see. Number one, I want you to see the importance of knowing how to share with someone what they must know in order to be saved. There are four main points there. Point number one, the things that a person must realize and admit to God, how that they are a sinner. Point number two, a person needs to realize the fact that God has established the payment for their sin. Point number three, a person needs to realize that while God hates their sin, He still loves them and He wants them to be saved. And then point number four, a person must be willing to personally go to God in prayer and repent of their sin and be willing to receive God's gift of eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ as their payment for sin. Now, I know that there are a lot of verses here, but each of these verses are there to help you and to encourage you to help those folks that have questions and point them to the Savior, even as John the Baptist did. Point them to the Savior, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And these verses will be a help to you if you'll only take time to read them, to study them, to hide them in your heart, to mark them in your Bible, and then be willing to share them with someone. And then, after you lead someone to Christ, child of God, it is important that they have assurance of their salvation from the Word of God. Now, I've given you several verses here that would give them assurance from the Word of God. It will help them to see that what God says He will do, He really will do. So I hope you'll take time, and I hope these verses in this section will be a help to you also as you learn to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray, and we'll be dismissed this morning for class. Father, I love you, and I thank you so much, Lord, for the privilege that we have to be able to teach this class every Sunday. And Lord, whether it be in person or whether it be online, God, I thank you for the privilege that you have bestowed upon me to teach your people the Word of God. Now, Lord, help each one that's listening to the sound of my voice be willing to take this lesson and apply it to their own heart. God, that they will be willing to take this poem today by C.T. Studd and apply it to their heart and remember that one day they'll not be able to do what they now have the privilege and opportunity to do in their lives. Help them, Lord, to be steadfast, unmovable in their faith, and be willing to tell everyone they see about Jesus. Bless the words of God that we have here that we can share with others, Lord, to help them to see their need of a Savior and to realize, God, that each of us owes a debt for our sin, that if we pay, God would have to spend eternity in hell and be separated from you forever. But thank you, Lord, for sending your Son, Jesus. And, Lord, I thank you for the Word of God that points us to that Savior. Bless now our people. Be with the Real family this week, Father. I pray, God, you'll strengthen and encourage them. And, Lord, I pray, God, that as Pastor preaches at the service, Lord, that many will be there and hear the message of God and be saved. And I believe, Lord, that's what Brother Jim would desire in his heart as well. Lord, if there be anyone today that's listening to the sound of my voice that's still lost, I pray, God, that they will listen and want to be saved. They will take those verses and look them up for themselves, and they will see that you love them and care for them and want them to be saved. And God, help them to be willing to call upon your name and trust you as their own Savior even today. We thank you now, Lord, for this time together, for it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Thank you, folks, for joining us again this morning for the lessons from the Conqueror's class. I hope that the lesson was a help and an encouragement to you. Now, listen, our service today begins at 10:45. If you're able to come and be with us, boy, I hope to see you there. But if you're not, tune us in live right here on our website, and Pastor Belcher will be preaching. He'll be giving the Word of God. I pray, Lord, that the Lord will bless him and strengthen him and give us exactly what we need to have today to see our need to live faithfully for God. Thank you again for joining us today for the lesson. We love you, and we hope to see you soon. God bless you, and thank you for joining us today.